Ross Bowman Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back to the Ross Bowlin Podcast, presented by Bowlin Media. I am Ross Bowlin, here with producer slash co-host Cade Orris, the day after Halloween. We made it to November 1st. Cade, did you go out for the big holiday last night?
I did not, but I spent most of the weekend, you know, celebrating the, I would say, the wrong holiday. Yeah, as Buddy the Elf.
Oh. Yeah.
So it doesn't really make much sense, but
so I did you were out at the bars in the Buddy the Elf costume all weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Or wait, did you went to the UT game?
Went to the UT
game.
So
you were in the stands.
Yeah,
and at the bars.
Got on the Jumbotron at the end of the game there, so that was pretty.
Oh no, shit!
Yeah, first time ever.
Damn, I've never been on a Jumbotron before.
So that was pretty exciting.
Oh, that's a huge accomplishment. That's almost like getting a hole in one in golf. Just one of those things that every sports fan wants to check off their list at
some
point.
Like catching a foul ball at a baseball game.
Absolutely.
Also on the list there, but
getting on the Jumbotron big time.
Can finally check that off. I was waiting. Like it was at the start of the fourth quarter. I was like waiting the whole game. I'm like, surely I can get on at least the Jumbotron.
You're a pretty tall guy. You're dressed as Buddy the Elf.
Yeah, in the sea of orange, there's just one doofus in a green elf costume. But yeah, finally made it on. But yeah, I did not go out last night. I had a flag football game.
Oh, season is still going, huh?
Unfortunately, yeah. Kind of wish it would just end.
Oh no.
Yeah.
It had so much promising, like so much promise at the beginning. I feel like
I thought so too.
Things were looking up.
I thought we had a solid team, but you know, I think the main reason why is cuz I'm not really playing my position.
You're not what are you playing?
on the line.
You're blocking?
I'm blocking, yeah. And so it just hasn't, you know, been all that enjoyable this season.
It's just too many good receivers for you to compete with?
I would not say that at all.
Okay.
No, a lot of dropped balls this season.
My biggest confusion about flag football is around the management, like who it is making the decisions, like who's putting you on the line, like who's the de facto coach?
Oh, see, that's the problem. There isn't one. Or like there's like a couple of guys that like, you know, think they're hot shit.
This sounds like a you problem, man.
I know.
Like, you got to be like, I'm not playing on the fucking line. I'm good at this. I can catch the ball. I'm 6'4". I'm playing receiver.
Yeah, but you know why I don't.
The awkwardness?
Yeah. Because I can't just say, like, hey, I'm, like, really good. I'm actually better than all of you.
This is exactly why I didn't go play pickup basketball at the church around the corner from my house this week.
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with the confrontation, man.
Yeah, and they're always like, oh, we'll sub in and like do all this stuff. And like, no one does. So like this game, I kind of just like, just checked out and just sat on the sideline.
Just to be clear, blocking in flag football essentially consists of like sliding your feet back and forth in front of somebody trying to prevent them from getting to the quarterback.
Put your hands behind your back.
Oh, yeah, so you can't even have your hands up.
No, but... And I don't think the defense is allowed to put their hands on you either, but they were. So, like, it was even harder for me. Like, I was just, like, I had him in front of me for, like, 2 seconds, then he was gone, and he was, like, trying to get the quarterback.
So,
like,
basically, they were like, Cade's big. We'll stick him on the line.
Yeah.
Surely he'll stop them from getting to the queue. But anyway, that sounds miserable.
Yeah, so we lost. We actually played the team that, like, I was, like, on, like, some of the guys I played with last session.
Oh, really?
So I was just kind of talking shit about my own team to them.
It's just like, how's it going, Cade? You're like, it fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Were you wearing the Buddy the Elf costume out there?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, you should have. That would have been a game changer.
Yeah. But yeah, got like two more games left. Probably won't show up. Not going to make the playoffs.
Are you just going to skip out?
Yeah, probably. I'm just...
Say fuck them?
Yeah, fuck them. I mean, they seem to have it all figured out, so...
I feel like maybe next year, just maybe like try it, like a different league.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, altogether. Mm-hmm. Or just get into dodgeball or something.
Yeah,
flag
like
football.
Yeah.
It's not working out for you.
It clearly isn't. But, you know, like, I also feel like... I shouldn't have to tell people, like, hey, I'm really good. You should just be able to see that, like, I'm good, like, in warm-ups. Like, I don't drop the ball. And, like, I catch the ball when you, like, throw a shitty pass to me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you just kind of, like, put that stuff together.
Yeah, this is a tough life lesson.
Yeah.
Though. Because that never happens.
No.
Like, you think people are smart enough to pick up on what you've got going on. They're not.
No.
They're not. You got to tell them. You force it. Force the issue, because it never works that way. I've been sitting around 36 years feeling like that, and it never has panned out that way, where somebody else is just going to, like, recognize your talent.
Yeah, recognize
put you
greatness.
In the position to succeed. It never fucking happens. Mm-hmm. You have to do it.
Yeah.
So, at least you got that lesson out of it. Now you know.
I guess.
Flag football season. Another bad one for Cade. That's unfortunate. I really thought this was going to be the one,
I thought it was
going
to be different, too. But, you know, just same old shit, just a different season, I guess.
Well, I had a good Halloween. I took the kids out to trick-or-treat in the neighborhood. My neighborhood, as I talked about last year, is pretty intense, man. There's a lot of families and a lot of little kids. And I've never lived in a neighborhood that's like this, where it's like the streets are, like, filled with people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's some of these squads of kids are like 20 deep running from house to house together, like little armies of candy bandits. And it's great people watching. It's really interesting to see, like, which parents dress up, which parents go out in their normal attire and the kids are dressed up. Like, it's just it general chaos, though. Some people take the Halloween decorations way, way too seriously. I had one neighbor who... It looked like it was just a dad and his son. Now, maybe the mom and the other kids were, like, out trick-or-treating, but they're sitting at a table in their front yard, okay? And the decorations for in their yard are skeletons hanging from trees. And when I say hanging, I mean, like they were hung, like, by the neck. And there's, like, seven of these big skeletons hanging from the trees, so, like, that's pretty creepy. And then... On the right side of their front yard, they set up an outdoor movie theater, like, with a screen. And not too big of a screen, but probably, like, I don't know, 80, 90 inches with, like, six chairs. And they're playing the Curious George Halloween special so that the children can come and sit and watch this if they want. Keep in mind, it's pretty cold out. I think most families are trying to, like, hustle from house to house, get the candy, make the kids happy and get home as quickly as possible.
Yeah, kids, like, don't want to sit around and watch a movie. They're trying to get as much candy as possible.
I've never seen this before. It was very strange, but they had, like, a full movie theater set up with this Curious George shit playing, and this is, again, right next to, like, six or seven skeletons hanging from the trees. Just a weird, weird showing.
Were there any houses that were, like, actually scary? Like,
I mean, know that one was fairly scary, honestly, just because it was, like, overly aggressively violent.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to explain, like, hanging bodies. But that one house I talked about last year that has this gigantic inflatable zombie baby, that still was there. One of my neighbors has a bunch of those, like, blow-up things in their yard, and one of them's like, Halloween Snoopy, and one of them's like, you know, a ghost. And then in the back is a probably 8-foot-long giant baby, but it's a dead baby with zombie eyes and face. And, like, I don't know how they picked that one when they were going through fucking Amazon or whatever, but that it's still out there, and it creeps me out every time I look at it or drive past it. But the neighborhood goes pretty hard decorations-wise, which makes it kind of fun. And the four-year-old, my stepdaughter, picked out our costumes. So she wanted to be a princess, and baby RJ was a prince, but we couldn't find a prince costume that fit an 8-month-old. And not like Prince, like the artist formerly known as Prince, like the great late Prince, like a prince. And a
that
princess,
would have been
yeah.
Very fun if you
that would have been way better. That would have been way better. We couldn't find a prince costume that fit him, so we got like a beast from Beauty and the Beast to get up, which was, I don't know, fucking closest thing we could find. My wife was a queen and I was a king, which just consisted of a crown and a cape, really. Like, At first, I was like, all right, I'm going to make this look legit. I put on like a white button down with the cape and the crown. And then I stepped outside and I was like, okay, it's fucking like, it's like 45 degrees out here. This is going to work. So I put on my normal clothes with like a hoodie and just had the cape over that. It was kind of lame, but like, it's for the kids, not for me. Anyway, I love the idea of Halloween, but the holiday itself, I've always seen as like a huge pain in the ass. Now, Cade has it down pat. You pick your one costume and you're Buddy the Elf for life. Like, I respect that move. Because for everybody else, you're like scrambling last minute, especially if you're super busy in October and you don't have a bunch of time to like figure out what you're going to be. Once you have like a house, which obviously is a blessing, but one downside, you got to have candy for the kids. If you're going out trick-or-treating, you got to have like a fucking table and a bucket set up with the candy in it and like a sign that says like, please take two or whatever. There's just a whole bunch of shit you have to do. It's always kind of been like the juice isn't worth the squeeze to me. Halloween is kind of a pain in the ass holiday.
Also, like for the costumes, like you're paying sometimes like 70, 80 bucks and you're wearing it one time.
Yeah.
Like you're just throwing money down the drain at that point.
Again, this is where you crushed it.
Yeah.
You pay once.
Pay once and get like 4 years out of it before it becomes too old.
And not just Halloween.
Gross.
Wearing it on Christmas and shit too. You got a good thing going. You need to hold on to that for dear life. Anyway, this Halloween, I will say this, it gets better with kids if you're a Halloween hater like I am, because like you at least get to see the joy on their faces. Like they have so much fun with it. And the baby, while not trick-or-treating because he can't walk or talk, he fucking loves people watching. Like he loves being out and about and like seeing all this different, like even just like trees, like walking around the neighborhood and being like, whoa, look at those trees. So he had the time of his life. He freaking loved it. But we had a rough candy pull this year. The four-year-old is representing our entire family, trick-or-treat-wise. Like, what she pulls in her bucket is the candy that we've got from Halloween. Because, again, baby can't do it. I'm a grown man. I'm not doing it. My wife's not doing it. So what she got is what we got. And when I waited for her to fall asleep, go up to bed, and then I went down to, like, raid her candy bowl, it was, like, 90% Snickers in her basket. Which, nothing against Snickers, but zero Reese's cups in there. And I'm a Reese's guy. This was devastating for me to see. Not a single Reese's cup in her basket. Strong majority little, like different size Snickers, like some of the little bitty, itty bitty bite size Snickers and some of the two bite Snickers.
Any like king size?
Nope. None of that. And I don't think this is like the neighborhood shit the bed. I think she did. I need to be better coaching her up
about what candy to pick.
Like what to go after.
Yeah.
Like, because I was holding the baby the majority of the time. I wasn't walking up to the doors or to the tables with her. A lot of people do the table setup now, I noticed, so that the doorbell's not getting rung over and over and over. They're just out front
at
its little temporary table setup, which is actually pretty smart. But I wasn't going up with her, so I wasn't seeing what she was grabbing. And it turns out she's just grabbing Snickers every single fucking time. And so that's what we have. It's like a bucket of Snickers at my house now, which I was just bummed out by that.
That's rough, man.
All in all, though, good night. It was a good night.
Could also buy a bag of Reese's. And
I guess I do have that ability.
Yeah, you are a grown-up. So
to go and purchase my own candy.
Yeah.
You're right. And it'll probably be on sale now that Halloween has passed. So maybe later today I go grab myself like 100 Reese's. Well, the thing is, then there's guilt and shame, because like I'm not a big candy guy. I don't eat a bunch of candy. I try to stay away from sweets generally. I'm trying to be healthy and live longer than 50 years. And I like the guilt-free ability to get candy on Halloween, like live vicariously through the kids. So I just need to, the point is I got to be better as a coach.
Yeah.
I got to coach her up next year so this shit doesn't happen again.
Was she also grabbing like Almond Joys and Dots and Whoppers?
No, it was like a couple packs of Skittles and like maybe a Baby Ruth in there or some shit, but like it was
just all Snickers.
All Snickers, bro. Just all Snickers. On a more positive note, we got an incredible addition to the studio in the mail yesterday here at Bolin Media headquarters. So back in September, we had Miles McAlpin, a.k.a. Sir Collect-A-Lot, on the show as a guest, and you can find his work at Sir Collect-A-Lot on Instagram. And you should check out our full discussion together from that episode back in September, but Sir Collect-A-Lot makes bootleg toys and custom action figures. He's made toys for a whole bunch of different celebrities at this point. And after he did our show, I asked all of our listeners to pester him into making Bill Chungus toy. Well, he did it. He made Bill Chungus toy, and it's here, and it is spectacular. If you're not watching on YouTube.com/@TheRossBolinPodcast today, which is most of you, you can see it on my Instagram or Twitter, @WRBolin. But it's got, you know, the famous Bill Chungus photo as the backdrop of the toy, you know, case. And then a little Bill Chungus action figure with in the perfect stance with the one foot, you know, rotated out and in the ASICS sneakers and the khaki shorts and the blue golf polo and the sunglasses. It's beautiful. It's a piece of art. And if you're new here and you have no idea who Bill Chungus is, Bill Chungus was me plus 60 pounds at the height of my weight gain back in 2016. And the Bill Chungus meme was born when I was in Chicago for the bachelor party of one of my best friends in 2016. And we went to a Cubs game at Wrigley Field. And we took a photo outside of Wrigley, the whole squad, the whole group. And like, while I was definitely in pretty bad shape, the angle and the lighting on this photo and like how I'm standing, I mean, it just makes me look absolutely enormous, Kate. Like, I look like I'm 6'4", 300 pounds, but still with chicken legs. My ASICS shoes look like they're about to explode off my feet. My Costa sunglasses are about to explode off my fat face. My blue golf polo is barely able to contain my blossoming breasts. It is a photo that I will cherish as a reminder of what once was for the rest of my life, as Bill Chungus was killed shortly thereafter, never to be seen again. But he did a great job, Sir Collect-A-Lot, with the Bill Chungus toys. This is definitely something you'll see in the background of either our social media clips or our full YouTube episodes on YouTube.com/@TheRossBolinPodcast from here on out. So thanks again to Sir Collect-A-Lot. Bill Chungus is now immortalized forever in toy form, thanks to him, to be displayed here in the Bolin Media Studio. And for that, we are thankful. It is really like, there was a point when I would look at the Bill Chungus photo and I just felt like sad. Like, I was just like, Jesus Christ, how did that happen? Like, how? But now that there's enough time and distance between me and Bill Chungus, it's just funny. And it's like, it's especially funny when I think back to how it happened. Like, because now I know how. Like, I know how. Like, I know what I was doing. And in part, this was a year that I ate at Matt's El Rancho, a Tex-Mex joint here in Austin, every single Thursday, okay, with a big group. And like we went almost every Thursday for like a calendar year. It was like a, you know, a tradition, a social thing. It's back when I had a social life. I know that's shocking to hear, Cade. And when I was there, so not only would I get two cheese enchiladas, which came with beans and rice, right? I would also eat roughly 30 tortillas worth of chips before that food even arrived.
And those chips are huge.
They're huge. Sometimes you're getting a half a tortilla as one chip, often, in fact. And then we would get the Bob Armstrong dip, which is queso, but with like all the meat and all the good fixings mixed in there. Mm. And so that was a lot of that was going down my gullet before I even got my enchiladas, which I would note are the same fucking exact same thing as the chips and queso, just in a different form. Like the tortilla has not been turned into chips and it's smothered in, filled with cheese and smothered in sauce. But then I would also, this is the most important part, I would slam a bare minimum of two margaritas and sometimes, like, there was one or two different equations that took place here. Either I had, like, three margaritas, or I would have two margaritas and then get a knockout martini, which is like, you know, they bring you the shaker and they give it to you, like, here it is.
Right, yeah.
And then that has, like, three drinks in it, really. So, like, point is, I was getting fairly fucked up every single Thursday and just eating as much as I possibly could. And I remember at the beginning of that year where Bill Chungus was built, I started to gain some weight, and I was like, huh, well, that's interesting. Like, I had never really gained weight before. I've always been a pretty skinny dude with, like, a high metabolism. There was points, like, in high school where I was on the baseball team. I wanted to gain weight, and I couldn't do it. It was a problem. When I first got out of college and I was doing CrossFit, like, I would go to the gym and I was doing CrossFit workouts 2-3 times a week, and like the head dude would tell me, like, yo, what the fuck, you're not getting any bigger. And I was like, I'm aware. He's like, you need to be drinking like a gallon of milk a day. Like, I was like, all right, fuck, that's no, I'm not going to do that. But thank you, sir. Anyway, point is, like, I always struggled to gain weight. So in 2016, when I started to put some on, I was like, okay, let's see how far we can take this. And I remember making the conscious, I was married at this point. I was deep into my job. Like, I've been working at the same place for probably, I guess at that point, 6 years. And I was kind of burned out. And I was just like, I'm going to see what happens if I eat whatever I want all of the time and just do it.
Give up. Don't care
just
anymore.
Give up. Yeah, basically. That. I was just basically like, I'm just going to give up. And not permanently. I knew it probably wouldn't be forever. But I remember having the thought process, like, I'm just going to ball out for a year and just fucking live, you know? Just fucking eat and drink to my heart's desire. So a lot of nights, like Thursday nights, we have covered. That was bad. Those were bad. But other nights, like sometimes I would just go get 2 bottles of Meiomi Pinot Noir, and I would fucking stay up watching Les Miserables on the new version of it with like fucking with
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman, thank you. And I would drink 2 bottles of Pinot by myself, and I'd get drunk and watch Les Mis. Sometimes I would cry, sometimes I would laugh, sometimes I would sing. It depended what I had going on that day.
How the Pinot was hitting.
But no matter what, I was getting fucked up by myself, which was not a good. This is the year before I quit drinking forever, because this is why we're discussing what led to the eventual. Like, so at some point, I was just living such an unhealthy lifestyle, and I put on legit. At the height, I was like 206, and to even break 200 pounds with my frame, it's impressive. Like, my legs weigh 5 pounds combined, dude. Like, there's nothing there. It's just bone. So to put on to break 200 was like a feat. And like, my normal healthy walking around weight is 165. So at that point I was 40 pounds over that, 40 pounds over that. And then like my low, which came in 2021 when I was getting off antidepressants, like I lost a bunch of weight. I'd already gotten back to healthy at this point, but like then I lost an unhealthy amount of weight because I was coming off of these meds. I was down to like 145, which is a full 60 pounds lower than where I was at the Bill Chungus height. So like some major weight fluctuation, and it wasn't great. I don't recommend doing that. I thought it would be tight, but just living a total scumbag life.
And just try to see how much weight
just see how big of a piece of shit I could become. It turns out a pretty big piece of shit. Like I really,
yeah, literally a big,
big old turd. And I'm, a thing about me that I didn't really realize before Bill Chungus. You know how some women will complain like, oh, when I gain weight, it goes straight to my ass. And I'm like, that's amazing. You should gain some weight. For me, it goes straight to my face. Like the first thing and this is part of the reason why I didn't realize how out of shape I was getting. It's not like I would take off my shirt and be able to look in the mirror and like, damn, I'm getting a massive gut. Like by the end of it, I had a bit of a gut going. Definitely had some like a beer belly, as you would call it. But it was nothing impressive. The impressive thing was that my face had ballooned to literally twice the size of what it is now. Like I just had so much cheeks, man. I'm like a squirrel or a chipmunk or something when I gain weight. Like it all goes to my face first. And my face looked like somebody had like stuffed a basketball pump in my mouth and then just gone to town for like 10 minutes pumping air into my face. So anyway, we had some good times, me and Bill, but some bad times. More bad than good, I would probably argue.
Sounds about right, yeah.
You shouldn't be watching Les Mis that many times by yourself pounding wine, bro. That's just, you at least switch it up, for Christ's sake. The guy at the gas station that was by my house, I would roll up, and he would just have the Meiomi ready for me. It was the brand of wine I got every single time. And then I specifically remember when I quit drinking, the first time I went to that gas station, this dude was devastated. Like, he had just re-upped on Meiomi. He's like, we got, like, a price cut. It's, like, $2 less than it used to be. And I was like, yeah, so about that, I don't drink anymore, man. And just the light left his eyes. Just like, how am I going to move all this Meiomi? This dude was pounding like 6 bottles of this.
He's the only one buying it.
I was the guy.
The sole customer. He's keeping him afloat.
Yep. I was the Meiomi guy at this gas station. And then they're probably out of business now for all I know. A lot of things changed when I changed, Cade. Mm-hmm. That neighborhood will never be the same. I should also note one of the other things during that year. So on top of Matt's El Rancho every Thursday, pounding margaritas and knockout martinis and Bob's queso and chips and doing the Les Mis thing with a couple bottles of wine or whatever, I also lived right next to a Whataburger. And I would, a lot of the time when I'd be, I'd get like, you know, 30 minutes into Les Mis and I'd think, I'm pretty hungry. And I'd just run over to this Whataburger. It was literally like a 3-minute walk from my house. And I would load up. And I was pounding a lot of Whataburger, is my point. That was the other big factor. Those three things really built Bill Chungus. Whataburger, Matt's El Rancho, and Mayomi Pinot Noir.
And this was all when you were married,
yeah,
too, right?
First marriage. Things weren't going well. Things weren't going well at work or at home, kind of, you could argue. So, like, this was my way of coping with it. And I got to tell you, I get it. Like, for people who use food as a coping device, like, yeah, no, it for sure helped to eat stuff. It made me feel better.
Yeah, eat the pain away.
All that yummy in your tummy, dude. It does, it's like, you know, you feel better. It's kind of like drinking. You feel better then, like, and only then. The next day, after pounding a bunch of Whataburger and two bottles of red, you don't wake up and go, I feel great. You feel like dog shit, which is eventually why I stopped all this, put the kibosh on Bill Chungus, and had to walk away from the game because I was a fucking mess. Sloppy mess, man. But it is nice to have. It's like, so Bill Chungus serves as a reminder of what once was and what to never go back to. And now I've got this toy to look at every day here at work to make sure that I know. Because as everybody knows, when you're a dad, like, dad bod is a thing you can set in quick. It just comes for you. You don't have time to be worried about your nutrition or your workout like you used to. So I got to keep Bill Chungus at bay. That's what I got to do, Cade. Thanks again to Sir Collect-A-Lot. Speaking of which, keeping momentum with my fitness and workout routine can be extremely difficult when I'm trying to balance parenting, work, some semblance of a personal life. And in the past, I would just do the same old workouts on chest day, the same old workouts on leg day, and I would pretty quickly hit a plateau where I wasn't getting any more jacked or shredded. And that, Cade, is the nightmare scenario that today's sponsor, FitBod, will help you avoid. Everyone knows working out is full of positives. Sleeping better, looking better, and just feeling better. But as you get stronger, sticking to the same old routine can lead to a plateau in results. Keep your momentum going and your progress positive with FitBod. The app creates personalized workouts based on your goals, abilities, and gym setup while helping you track and visualize your progress along the way. I've been using FitBod app for several months, and it is legitimately awesome. Actually, I have crushed 75 workouts with FitBod as of yesterday, actually, because it keeps count. This is how many FitBod workouts you've done. I've done 75 on the dot. FitBod is the future. It has everything you wish those other apps had. FitBod provides a personalized workout plan designed for your fitness level and goals. So if you're like, I've never worked out before, I don't really know how, it doesn't matter. You let the app know, like, I am very much a beginner. This is my first time. And it will walk you through everything you need, make your workout more simple. If you're more advanced, if you've been doing weight training and stuff, you're trying to get huge, it's got everything you need too. It creates custom workouts based on your goals, experience, available equipment, and more. And again, if you're intimidated, like, well, there's not that many things I know how to do in the gym, every single workout it asks you to do, it will also provide for you a video that shows you someone else doing that exact workout and a text explanation of exactly what you're supposed to do as well. So it makes it really, really easy to figure anything out. I've done plenty of different workouts with FitBod that I had never done before that I now know how to do pretty easily. So FitBod workouts also improve as you improve. Their powerful technology understands your strength training ability, studies your past workouts, and adapts to your available gym equipment. So, like, I work out in my garage. There's a limited amount of stuff I have. I plug it into the app. It knows exactly what I have, and it only serves me workouts that I can pull off with my available equipment. The app also intelligently varies your intensity and volume and tracks muscle fatigue and recovery to design a well-balanced workout plan. So, like, yesterday, I did a bunch of different stuff for chest. It knows today, if I go do another FitBod workout, not to give me any chest stuff because my chest is tired. So it moves to other areas of my body. The app also gives your gym sessions fresh, makes them fresh and fun by mixing up your workouts with new exercises, rep schemes, supersets, and circuits. It's never been easier to get the results you've always wanted. Check out FitBod. Get 25% off your subscription at fitbod.me/Ross. That's FITBOD.ME/ROSS. FitBod.me/Ross for 25% off your FitBod subscription today. All right. This next segment is about one of the most ridiculous things I have ever seen happen, not just on like sports talk shows or sports television, but just in sports content in general. And that's really saying something. Yesterday, live on TV, live on FS1, Chris Broussard, who is a really well-known sports analyst and commentator, he's best known for his coverage of the NBA. He is now a co-host on FS1's afternoon show, First Things First is what it's called. And live on the air yesterday, he asked if James Harden was the R word. Okay, and when I say the R word, he then corrects himself to say developmentally disabled. So that should help let you know what the R word is. Cade, go ahead, just roll the clip. We'll just play the clip with the R word bleeped out so y'all can hear this extremely inappropriate but also somehow entertaining Chris Broussard fuck up. Here it is.
Like he did.
I think he's not going to get to play the way he wants, and he's going to mope, and it's not going to work well.
Nick,
I
what? James, I is think, the I, man? I mean,
shouldn't use that word, but sure.
Developmentally disabled.
Sure.
To think that he is going to go to the Clippers where they have Kawhi Leonard as the number one. Let me apologize for using that word.
Oh.
I have my first cousin. We just put him to. He died a few months ago, a month or two ago. He was developmentally disabled, so I didn't mean to use that word.
Of course, I don't.
I apologize to the audience and everything.
Oh, that's very kind of you. I don't think anyone would kill you for it. Listen, this is not.
aside from being just like a fabulous flub, just a terrible fuck up. Like, there's so many layers to this thing to unpack. And now to really understand the full context of what is happening here, Chris Broussard and First Things First host Nick Wright are discussing James Harden being traded from the Philadelphia 76ers to the Los Angeles Clippers, okay? And this trade happened after an insanely tumultuous offseason for James Harden, during which he called 76ers general manager Daryl Morey a liar. He demanded a trade to the Clippers. He did not show up for 76ers training camp. He did not participate in the 76ers preseason games. And eventually, somehow, he got exactly what he wanted yesterday and was traded to the Clippers anyway. So Harden, who, if you've been listening to my show for a long time, and even if you don't watch sports, you're probably aware of, because I basically worshipped him when he was on the Houston Rockets. He was my favorite player in the NBA, bar none. And he has now done this to three consecutive teams between the Rockets, the Brooklyn Nets, and the Philadelphia 76ers. James Harden's reputation is a disaster. And he's like largely considered to be a perennial playoff choker who fades into the dark when the lights are brightest. Sad. But he's not in a good place, all right? So, like, it's not an original take to be questioning what's wrong with James Harden. That's one thing you have to understand here. This is, if you're bringing up the NBA, basketball, Philadelphia, Los Angeles now, you're talking about Harden at some point, and you're probably asking, like, what's this guy got left to bring to a basketball team, because he's been such a disaster for, like, 4 or 5 years now, okay? And he's very, very talented, no doubt. He still had a great regular season. He led the NBA in assists last year. The 76ers got to the Western Conference Finals before they lost. Eastern Conference Finals. Thank you, Cade. Before they lost. But all in all, he has been, like, considering his skill set and his abilities, underachieving pretty much his whole career. And he makes decisions on, like, a personal level in terms of forcing his way off of all these different teams that make him look really bad in the media, right? That's the gist of it. So, there is a lot to question about James Harden, but to throw out the R word is obviously not acceptable. Like, it's not like this was in the last 5 years that society corrected course and was like, we don't say this word anymore. Okay, this is not new. Like, it's been totally socially unacceptable for a long time now, and to do it on live TV is just bonkers. Like, Chris Broussard has been in the game for a long time now. He knows you can't say this. So, like, one of the other, the second it comes out of his mouth, there's three guys on set, okay? Nick Wright, Chris Broussard, and Kevin Wilds is sitting in between them. And when the word comes out of Chris Broussard's mouth, Kevin Wilds immediately does this, like, extreme right eyebrow raise, like, well, that wasn't good. And they just happen to have zoomed in on Kevin right when he does the eyebrow raise. It's beautiful. Then he, like, sips his coffee knowing that they're obviously about to go viral for all of the wrong reasons. It was just a great reaction from Kevin that makes the clip all the more entertaining and absurd. And then you've got Chris Broussard trying to apologize and justify his use of the R word with this bizarre story that somehow just keeps getting worse as he tells it. Like he brings up his now dead first cousin, and it just becomes a next level derailment. Like, I'm trying to understand why he specified his first cousin.
Yeah, he could have been fine with just saying
just cousin, cousin. Just your cousin, man. Yeah. I mean, fuck, we don't need, like, I guess he's just like amplifying how close this person was to him. So his first cousin that is now dead. Like, it just does. If you know someone who is developmentally disabled, then you're allowed to use the R word somehow, seemed to kind of be his logic train. Like, he was saying, like there's two ways to look at it. One, he was either apologizing and saying that he should know better because he has a developmentally disabled first cousin who recently passed away, or two, it's okay for him to say because he has a developmentally first cousin who most recently passed away, which is like applying the rules of a no-no word for white people to the R word. It was just insanity, just totally insane. Then it seems like he almost says that they had to, he's trying to say that this cousin died, but the way he starts the sentence before breaking it off, he's like, we had to put him to, and then he's like, he died a couple months ago or whatever. Like, it almost sounds like he's saying they had to, like, put him to sleep or, like, down. Like, you would a dog. Like, that's a story about a dog, not a human being. But he corrects himself to say that he died a few months ago or a month or two ago. So it also seems like he's not even quite sure when the dude passed away.
But they're first cousins, so I feel like they're so close.
Like, they should know, right?
Yeah.
Like, he should know. It's just, I've never quite seen anything like it in terms of live TV. I also didn't realize, like, how many of these sports shows, like, do they not have a 5-second delay? Like, where the fuck, they weren't able to, like, bleep this out? It just unfolds, like, right there. And Nick Wright, the host's response to the initial flub, is also incredible. He's like, you shouldn't use that word, but sure. but sure.
Sure, go for
it. Yeah. Anyway, people mess up on TV all the time. It happens. Things slip out. If you watch the Pat McAfee show, you're fully aware of this, right? But usually, we're talking about like a curse word or some inappropriate sexual innuendo or turn of phrase, not straight up, everybody knows, banned words like the R word, which was taken out of acceptable societal lexicon. Like, when I was in high school 20 years ago is when we started to become like really aware. Like, if somebody said this, you kind of looked at them like, hey, we don't do that anymore. That's not cool, bro. You don't use that word. That was 20 fucking years ago. And Chris Broussard is 55 years old with a late developmentally disabled first cousin. And he let this slip. It was just bad. That's how ridiculous the James Harden situation has been, though, I suppose. It's just a mess.
I feel like you're forgetting about another all-time slip up on national TV here.
Which one?
With the sports announcer during the Rez game where he...
Nick Castellanos?
Yeah. And I think he said a gay slur.
Okay.
And then like he was apologizing during the game, and that's when the Nick Castellanos hits the home run and just like says, like the dude just homered in the middle of his apology. Like, that's another all-time great.
Oh, this is one of the great moments in sports announcing history. Like, that was years ago, though, I think.
I feel like it was like a couple years maybe, but
let me look it up. Nick Castellanos commentator and see what year this thing happened, because I think it was, oh yeah, a drive into deep left field by Castellanos. It has its own Wikipedia page now. Okay. So like, this is a phrase spoken by Tom Brenneman. He was a play-by-play announcer for the Reds during a baseball game against Kansas City on August 19th of 2020. Okay, so a few years ago. says Brenneman was replaced in the middle of the broadcast for a microphone gaffe in which he described an unnamed location as one of the F-word capitals of the world, which, again, that's just as flagrant as this. Like, just totally unacceptable. While he apologized to listeners on the air, Reds outfielder Nick Castellanos hit a home run, which caused Brenneman to interrupt himself to deliver a home run call, describing the hit as a drive into deep left field before continuing with his apology. It was incredible. So he goes, he makes the comment, the inappropriate comment, right? Then he's talking, this is later, before he gets pulled off the broadcast, he's trying to issue an apology, and he says, I made a comment earlier tonight that I guess went out over the air that I am deeply ashamed of. If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart, I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive into deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. And so that will make it a 4-0 ball game. I don't know if I... and then he realizes, like, oh, I'm fired. And he goes, I don't know if I'm ever going to be putting on this headset again. I don't know if it's going to be for the Reds, and I don't know if it's going to be for my bosses at Fox. I want to apologize to the people who signed my paycheck, for the Reds, for Fox Sports Ohio, for the people I work with, for anybody that I've offended here tonight. I can't begin to tell you how deeply sorry I am. That is not who I am. It never has been. But to interrupt his own apology with a Nick Castellanos home run call, that was one of the great, more ridiculous moments in sports commentating. And that was live during the middle of a game, which is somehow even worse.
There's a lot more viewers for that game
for sure. Than FS1's whatever the fuck show.
First things first.
Yeah, I don't even know if I'd ever heard of First Things First. But I got to tell you, these people coming up with the names of sports shows on FS1 and ESPN, they got to be better.
First Take.
It's one of the things about Pardon My Take, the podcast, that made it so great, is that they were clearly combining, like, Pardon the Interruption and First Take, and making fun of the fact that, like, all of these show names, these sports show names, they're all some variation of the exact same fucking thing. First Things First. Come on. Anyway, just an outrageous fuck up from Chris Broussard, who I don't know what's going to happen with him. I'm sure he'll get fined or something. They may put him on leave.
Yeah, I imagine he'll be all right.
I feel bad for his first cousin, though. He just threw him under the... like.
Yeah.
Let's make it about this, though. This guy who died a few months back, not even sure when, one month.
Maybe a month or two.
Maybe last
week. Who knows?
Good Lord. Anyway, just, I won't say good stuff. Bad stuff.
Be better.
Still somehow very funny. Today's episode is also brought to you by MyBookie. If you're looking for a sports book or you want to switch to a sports book that sponsors your favorite podcast, MyBookie has everything you need, from college football and the NFL, NBA regular season, hockey, or the ongoing World Series. If there's a sporting event you're looking to get action on, MyBookie has you covered. Just go to MyBookie.ag and use code Ross when you make your first deposit to unlock a welcome bonus. Stipulations apply. As a bettor, you demand perfection, and MyBookie delivers. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash out system giving you options to bet and win all season long. If the first two legs of your parlay hit, cash out early and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Join the MyBookie family for an entire season filled with odds, boosts, free bets, and super contests. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now, register for an account for free, and when you're ready to make your first deposit, use promo code Ross to grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code Ross to claim your deposit bonus. So what are you waiting for? If you're already betting on sports elsewhere and you're down to do so on a great platform that also supports your favorite podcast, code Ross at mybookie.ag is the way to do it, folks. Just use code Ross to unlock that deposit bonus. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Sticking with sports related, one of my favorite sports follows on X, otherwise referred to as Twitter, is Lance Zierlein. And he exposed me to this post on Reddit. It's on the teachers subreddit within Reddit. So, like, Reddit has a whole community. It's like r-teachers. It's just teachers talking about the shit that they go through. It's like a support group almost. Because everybody, you know, being a teacher, it's rough. It's tough. You're dealing with a bunch of little, no matter what age you teach, there's a lot of little shits out there. and you're putting up with a lot. It's a difficult gig. It's why people are constantly vying for teachers to get more pay, higher salaries, because it's a miserable job that it takes a special kind of person to do, and it's a very important job because we need our youths to be educated, Cade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm holding young minds.
Yeah, exactly. So in this teacher's subreddit, there's a post from a teacher that says, every year, these kids come back with a new annoying quirk. Coin boys are apparently the new thing. In my 10th year of teaching mostly freshmen, it says NIS2G ever since the pandemic. What is that?
Swear to God.
Oh, swear to God ever since the pandemic. And honestly, like 5 years before that, there's always a new thing students bring to school that they learned over the summer from the internet or wherever. The newest thing here is a flock of self-proclaimed coin boys who carry a quarter on hand at all times and constantly flip it. They have their entire personality revolve around coins, coin flips, and chants. When we went around to do an icebreaker, four or five of the kids said some variation of, quote, I live by the coin and I die by the coin, as their fact. Just about an hour ago, when I assigned the first assignment of the school year, one of the coin boys was bold enough to say, quote, heads, I do it, tails, I don't. I told him if he flipped the coin, he would be getting a call home on the first week of high school. He flipped it anyway, and it came up heads. Thank God for that, at least. But then the other coin boy in that class flipped his coin, and it came up tails. He said, the coin has spoken, and he's not going to do it. I said, very well, enjoy your zero and your call home. What a great way to start out the school year and your high school career. I really hope this dies off soon. I haven't seen anything online about this when I Googled it, so I'm guessing it's just a local friend group thing, unless one of you has some more info. Now, that's the end of the post, and there's all kinds of replies to it, and it's just, but like, when you were in high school, did y'all have any like weird fads?
Maybe, like, I can't think of anything right now.
So I remember, like, at one point in middle school, yo-yos got really hot. Everybody started bringing a yo-yo to school, and just like the halls were just filled with people trying to like rock the baby or do the cat's cradle or whatever, like just yo-yos fucking everywhere, dude. At one point it was Beanie Babies. At one point it was Pogs. Do you even know what Pogs are? Dude, you're so unlucky that you missed this. It was the dumbest fucking thing ever, but it's sort of reminiscent of Coin Boys. Like, Pogs were these circular paper made, like all of them had a little different design on them. Like
they kind of have a coin shape to them.
Yeah, shaped like a coin. And then you had what was called a slammer, and you would slam it onto the Pogs. And if it flipped over, like you would, like you and me would both have our Pogs here, and we'd like bet some Pogs. And then one of us would slam, and like any ones that landed face down, like you got to keep. So you could like wager Pogs. There was gambling involved. There was chance involved. There was slamming involved. It was, people brought these
very
giant,
disruptive for a classroom setting.
We're talking, people brought like 4 foot long tubes. They sold these tubes that you would store all your Pogs in. It was completely out of control, kid. This was in the fucking, I don't know, the late 90s, long time ago. But anyway, the point is, I remember several like different fads and phases that took over schools. Like, it didn't happen as much in high school. But in middle school, it was a huge problem. Like, it was regular. Like, the Beanie Baby thing, dude, it was very, very disruptive. Like, we were, like, buying and selling Beanie Babies. Like, it was like black market shit. It was absurd. We did this with sports trading cards at one point, too. Like, I remember I sold this kid an Alonzo Mourning. He was a Charlotte Hornets center, Hall of Fame player. He, who now works, I think he's in the Miami Heat front office. That's not the point. I sold one of my buddies an Alonzo Mourning card, and it was for like $60, which, you know, you're in sixth grade or whatever. It's a fuckload of money.
Yeah, that's like a grand to you.
Yeah, it's crazy. And with inflation, that's probably like $300 in 2023. And he got home, and his parents found out, and they were furious, and we had to trade back the next day. I had to give all the money back. It was like the first big score I ever hit in my life. And it was all for naught, as his parents canceled it. They just took that right back. So, anyway, it's one of the funniest things about school, that these things, like, catch on, and they move from, like, school to school, campus to campus. They're very regional, these fads and trends. But Coin Boys is one I have never heard of. And it's fucking hilarious because it's like Harvey Dent in The Dark Knight.
It seems like they watched The Dark Knight for the first time. Or like, I like this Harvey Dent guy. I like what he's got going on.
I'm going to live this way.
Yeah.
I'm going to live this way. The coin has spoken is a fucking hilarious thing to say. This also eliminates, the genius of it is that it eliminates the ability to have to make decisions. That pressure. You don't have to make a decision anymore. The coin
does it for you. You
speaks for you.
You live and die by the coin.
You live by the coin. You die by the coin. The coin decides. Okay. That's the beauty of it. Because kids, you know, they got a lot of pressure, man. Especially in school. Fuck them. They don't have any pressure. I need this as an adult. I need to become a coin boy. Because that's just too many decisions on a day-to-day basis. Like, should I get out of bed?
Just flip the coin.
Ding! Coin is spoken. I stay here. This is where I lay today. I love it. I love it. But also, this makes me absolutely never want to become a teacher. Imagine trying to teach these little fuckers.
And they're just, like, flipping their coins all class period.
Goddamn coin boys. They're like a gang. And I love that it's, like, a select group of them. Like, there were two coin boys in this one particular class.
Yeah, you think there's, like, an initiation to get in? Like, is it, like, an exclusive group?
They probably play Bloody Knuckles. That was another fad that really took over. Did you ever play Bloody Knuckles?
Absolutely not.
So you'd get a quarter.
I mean, I know, like...
Yeah, you'd get a quarter and you'd spin it. And then the two of you would sit there and flick it. And you had to keep it spinning. And then if I was the one to fail to keep it spinning and it fell over, then I would have to put my knuckles, my fist, down on the table. And you would get the coin. And then you would fling it at my knuckles as hard as you possibly could. And sometimes they would bleed, and that's why the game was called Bloody Knuckles.
Also seems like boys are the ones to come up with these fads a lot of times.
Yeah, we are a problematic bunch of morons. Just the stupidest
fucking... We're just entertained by the simplest things.
We really are. Coin boys, dude. They're out there, and they're making critical life choices based on the flip of a coin, Harvey Dent style. It's fucking ridiculous. I make my own luck, though, you know? That's the thing about these coin boys. One of them is going to figure out eventually, like, I can just get a double-headed coin. Then they
never have to do homework.
Never have to do your homework again. That's going to be the end of the coin boys, probably, when they take it that far. Anyway, that'll do it for today's show. Please support our sponsors by hitting the links in the description of this episode. That's where you can find them every episode. Use our dedicated codes and URLs. That's how we pay the bills here at Bolin Media. You can find links to all of our sponsors for today's episode in the description below. To check out our other shows here at Bolin Media, you can go to bolinmedia.com, or you can just go manually to, let's say, Jared's F1 show, Formula Bone, which you can watch at youtube.com/@formulabone, where J-Bone has amassed over 100 and almost 20,000 subscribers now, enjoying all of the F1 content they can handle. J-Bone does a preview and a recap of every single F1 race all season long. He's done a great job with his coverage. If you love F1, you'll love Formula Bone, @FormulaBone on social media as well. We've got Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, our TV and movie podcast hosted by myself with one of my best friends, Barrett Dudley. We've known each other for over 20 years. We are now beginning coverage of Foundation on Apple TV Plus, the second season, season 2 of Foundation on Apple TV Plus. Awesome show, super fun ride. We're doing season 2. It's going to be a blast. Join us on Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, wherever you get your RBP. Go to bolinmedia.com/shop. Grab yourself some RBP merch for the, you know, the holiday season. We've gotten past Halloween. Now there's all kinds of holidays coming up. We've got great stuff on bolinmedia.com/shop. You can get a Stat Good Days hoodie or crew neck sweater. We've got In Therapy hats. We've got Horny for Sunsets t-shirts. We got baby onesies, Year of the Dog tees, finishing cup mugs, because everybody needs a finishing cup. We've got coffee mugs that are finishing cups. Stat Good Days coffee mugs as well. RIP Bill Chungus t-shirts, which is probably my favorite item in the store, honestly. Chicken Leg Pride tees, Stat Good Days mouse pads. We got Bolin Borislow 24 t-shirts. Those are still in there. All kinds of great shit. bolinmedia.com/shop. Get yourself some merch. get yourself some holiday gifts to give out this holiday season. And yeah, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at WRBolin. Cade, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on all the social media platforms at Kadors. That's KadeOrris.
This episode of RBP is presented by Bolin Media. Video of today's show was produced by Kadors. Go to youtube.com/@TheRossBolinPodcast to enjoy the full video and also short, funny clips from our program, youtube.com/@TheRossBolinPodcast. We'll be back later this week with another ad-free exclusive edition of RBP available only on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. And then we'll see you next week. Until next time, peace be with you and also with you.
Go low, baby.